We're back to John's Gospel again, and we're turning to the last few verses in that chapter, John chapter 10, and we're just going to read verse 25 to the end. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. It is always a joy to bring the message of the gospel to you today, wherever you may be. And I trust that you are keeping safe in these times, that the Lord is watching over you and your family, and that by God's grace we will get through all of the issues that we face during this pandemic. We're turning today to John chapter 10, verse 30, where the Lord Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Now, if you know anything about the cults, you will find that this is a target text for their heresies, and they really attack the deity of the Lord Jesus, and they mangle this text to their own purposes. Well, today I want to get to the root of the wonderful truth that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but God the Son in all his fullness. And so I hope that you will listen in very carefully as we open our Bibles at John chapter 10. The text is verse 30, where Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Now, I would point out that it is much more than just one in purpose, one in their goal, but that they were one in nature, one in power, and in glory. This is an essential doctrine of our faith, and every believer needs to be well grounded and well versed in this truth of the equality of the Lord Jesus with his Father. So stay tuned as we go now to the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia, and may God have a word for your heart as today we let the Bible speak. I have some cause to think that after the message of last Sunday morning, and especially on that part of the two hands, that we are held in the hand of the Son, and we're also held in the hand of the Father, and that we are kept for all eternity without a promise of eternal life. I have some confidence that you went home last week feeling that you were comforted and reassured as the Lord's sheep, and that His grace is in your heart, and you have that blessed assurance. Now, the Lord got himself into trouble. And it's always good to know that the one who's perfect can get himself into trouble. Never be afraid as a Christian of getting yourself into trouble. When the Lord made that statement, "I and my Father are one," then there was nearly a riot. And the Jews were taking up their stones to stone the Lord. Now, that is an amazing statement. And there are depths to it that are just so wonderful. And I can't bypass this. I can't leave this without some thorough preaching. And I thought that today we'd come back to this and take a look at the Lord's statement, "I and my Father are one." Now, we know that they are one in purpose, one in power, but also in nature. And that's what upset the Jews, because they referred to this as blasphemy. And the outright hostility of these religious people, well, it shouldn't shock us, because it is just human nature at work. There is in human nature, fallen, sinful man, sons and daughters of Adam, the poison of the serpent, this enmity against the Lord. And you'll find it in many ways. When you are in a group and you speak of your Lord and your Savior, you'll find that many people will be either very uncomfortable with that, or that they might even be totally offended with that. And some people in their workplaces might even have their boss come in and say, "Never speak like that again in this office or in this workplace." And the Christian often is restricted. And in this secular culture in which we live, there's even rules and regulations about how you can bring religion or the name of the Lord Jesus into the workplace. Now, we cannot afford to let down our guard about the deity, the godhood of the Lord Jesus. And that's always where the pressure lies. This week, I got an email and I was shocked, actually, I didn't know this, that there are Bible versions that are intended to be used to win Muslims to Christianity. And they are Muslim-friendly Bible versions where everything is stripped down that might offend a Muslim. They, of course, believe that Allah is one God. He has no son. Well, you've got a lot of stripping down to do when you come to the Gospels to try and make that Muslim friendly. And any reference to the deity, the godhood of the Lord Jesus is torn away. And of course, liberals have been doing this for decades and decades. And there are many churches that seem their whole bent is not to prove the deity, the godhood of Christ. They seem to set themselves to disprove and to throw out, rejecting the miraculous, the supernatural, the deity of the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to beseech you today to stand fast and to stand up for the Lord Jesus in his full deity. The Lord was willing to upset these unbelieving Jews, to present himself as he really was, not only as man, but as God in his human nature. And if we be true to the gospel and true to Christ, then our preaching, our presentation of the Savior must likewise represent that full godhood and deity of the Son of God. And we take our stand where Christ said, I and my Father are one. Now, thankfully, in this context where the Lord said that, he went on to really prove his own deity. So what we're going to do today is glean from that. We're going to take the arguments that the Lord Jesus gave, we're going to take the evidence that he provided, and we're going to take a good look and see how we too can stand for the full godhood and deity of the Lord Jesus. Now, you'll find in your Christian life that this is where the battle rages. This is where the battle rages in your prayer life. If you give an inch on the full deity of Christ, how are you going to use that name of Jesus in prayer? When the devil whispers in your heart, are you really saved? Are you really a Christian? And temptations come, and you wonder, can the Lord protect you and keep you right to the end? After all, this whole context is all about the saving and keeping power of the Lord. And there's no point in him saying that no man can pluck you out of his hand if he is not God, if he is not almighty as God the Father is. And so, as I say, this is where the battle rages, not only in our evangelism and our apologetics, in our doctrinal stand and position as a church, but in your own personal walk. How are you going to live in the power and blessing of your Christian life if you are in any way robbed of the truth that Jesus is anything less than totally God? So firstly, we come to this statement of his co-equality. And I like that term. It's very important in our Christian lives to get a handle on terms. Co-equality, where Jesus says here in this verse 30, I and my Father are one. Now notice he did not say I and the Father. It's not the Father to Jesus. He is his Father. And there is a unity of father and son relationship right off in that statement. Now, obviously, the impact made upon the Jews turned them to hostility. They accused him of blasphemy. And we need to inquire into just what all the Lord intended when he said, I and my Father are one. Firstly, the Father and Son are co-equal in their purpose. And we'll restrict that to the purpose of redemption, saving the sheep. This John 10 is very much about the sheep and the sheep whom the Father hath given to the Son. Jesus is the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. And the Father and Son have the exact same purpose in saving the elect. All whom the Father giveth to me, Jesus said, come to me, and I give unto them eternal life. And so the Father, he is set forth as the owner of the sheep. He brands them, and he gives them to his Son. And everything that the Lord Jesus undertakes in his earthly ministry and especially in his death, his atoning sacrifice, is all with the same purpose of bringing those sheep out of an estate of condemnation and delivering them out of sin, bringing them all the way into the mansions of glory for heavenly life with God. And we see this in this passage over and over and over. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." So he calls them and he brings them effectually into a state of grace. Now the Father and the Son are both set not only on saving, redeeming the sheep, but they're also both set on keeping the sheep and finally bringing them home to glory. Both their goal, they aim for the same goal of bringing the sheep home to eternal life. Now, this is reinforced down in verse 37. And I can't preach this just line by line, clause by clause, sentence by sentence, because, well, it just doesn't seem to work. I think we have to be willing to move around a little bit. Now, we're not going to play games with the Bible here, but just to take it logically and under each heading, we're going to move now to verse 37, where the Lord Jesus said, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." What would you take from that statement? What would that mean to you? Well, of course, the big question is, what did it mean to the Jews? What did it mean to the people that he was stating it to? "If I do not the works of my Father." In other words, that would be a black mark against him. That would make his whole claim to be the Savior null and void. It would undo everything that he claims. And he was pointing out, "I therefore definitely do the works of my Father." So there was oneness in purpose. And everything that Jesus wrought, everything that he worked for, was to fulfill the will of his Father. Now you can say that from A to Z, from the day he was born to the day that he was ascended into glory, from the cradle to the cross. Everything the Lord Jesus did was to fulfill the work of his Father. You remember at his baptism, the Father came down and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And at other times, God spoke out of heaven, showing and indicating his good pleasure with the work of his Son. And so they were at one in their purpose of work, especially the work of redemption to bring sinners into heaven. And the Father is glorified in the Son. Everything Christ accomplished brought honor and glory to his Father. And Jesus' death on the cross was to the Father a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And we might find this very strange to our thinking, but God took great pleasure in those hours of darkness when our Lord offered up himself on that cross as an atoning sacrifice. Isaiah wrote, "It pleased the Father to bruise him." And again, that's beyond our human petty comprehension. How can a holy God of loving kindness take such delight in pouring wrath, all the wrath, all of hell, upon his own Son? And of course, the answer can only be that the goal, the redemption of the sheep, that all the work of the Lord Jesus that he undertook as our Savior, the Father was well pleased because they were one in their work. They were also co-equal in power. Now in the verse 29, you'll see how The Father is referred to as greater than all. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And the Lord Jesus refers to his Father's greatness, his omnipotence. He's the creator. He's the one that made the world. He's the one that hangs the world on nothing. He's the one who keeps the world in its orbit. And it's his omnipotent hand that keeps us. And Jesus says, I and my Father are one. He is also creator. John 1, verse 1 begins with that. This whole gospel begins with the creator work of the Son. Without him was nothing made that was made. He was there in creation. Jesus is a creator, and his hand is also the hand that flung the stars into position and holds them there by his omnipotent power. And so the Father and the Son are one in power. Now that blesses us today and encourages us, because when we think of the two hands, the hand of the Father, the hand of the Son, and they are equally Creator's hands, equally omnipotent, equally powerful to keep our souls. I'm glad today that the Lord is keeping me, and it's not left to me to keep myself. I wouldn't last a day. I would fall immediately. But every one of us, by grace, are kept by the hand of God and by the hand of the Son. Now this brings us to an even greater element of this, that they are both co-equal in nature. Now I come to this because that's what the Jews took out of it, that Jesus was making himself God. And you'll notice there in that verse 32, Jesus answered, many works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? And they said, we don't stone you because of works. We stone you because of blasphemy. Because you're making yourself out to be God. Now, how did the Lord handle this? What did the Lord have to say to that accusation? So why were these Jews so upset? Because they knew that the Lord was making himself out to be God. Now, it is not blasphemy to call yourself an angel. Now, for you and me, that just would be stupid. But it's not blasphemy. It wouldn't be idolatry to call yourself an angel. It's not blasphemy to call yourself another Adam. If Jesus was just making himself out that he was a created being as an angel or an Adam, that would not be correct, but it would not be blasphemy. But it was blasphemy to refer to himself as one with the Father in nature, co-equal in person. And that's what sent them berserk. And you remember my word berserk. It comes from a warrior. And that's the warrior just takes out the sword and he just lashes out against everything. These Jews went berserk. They wanted to stone the Lord for that statement of blasphemy. Now, did the Lord back off and say, no, I don't mean that. Did the Lord back off and say, well, that's not what I was saying. I'm just saying that we have the same work in mind. We do the same, have the same goal in mind. But I didn't refer to nature. Did Jesus water this down or back off? Well, let's go to verse 36. And as I say, we have to move around a little bit here to get the argument. And you'll see how the Lord defended his own deity, his oneness with the Father in nature. Say ye of him, well, really of me, say ye of me, whom the Father hath sanctified, that means set apart, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. And so we see the Lord did not back down. He did not say to these Jews, now your thinking's all wrong. No, your thinking's right. Your response is all wrong. Your reaction to the truth is sending you berserk. But I am one with the Father in nature because, as he stated here, he is the Son of God.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian. Mr. Spurgeon said that Christ is the A and he is the Z, or the Z, of the salvation alphabet. He is not only the helper of our salvation, but the God of it, the maker of it, the all in all of it. Have any of you a salvation which you have manufactured for yourselves? Then drop it overboard and row away from it as fast as you can, lest it should be a torpedo to work your ruin. The only salvation that can redeem from hell is a salvation that comes from heaven. Eternal salvation must come from an eternal God. Salvation that makes you a new creature must be the work of Him that sits on the throne and makes all things new. I hope that today that you understand that Jesus came from heaven. He was the eternal second person of the Trinity. He left the glory of heaven, came down into this world to be the Redeemer, Savior of His people. And because He is God, He is almighty and able to save sinners. He can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And praise God, He can save you as well. Now, all of this is very relevant to you because you need a Savior who is perfect, one who is more than man, more than just flesh and blood, but He is the God-man. He is God in the flesh, and everything that He accomplished on the cross has divine value. He purchased redemption by the virtue and value of His blood. We are redeemed not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Now, if I can be of any personal help to you in your search to know the Lord, I look forward to hearing from you. In just a few seconds, we're going to have the closing announcements. And so get your pen and paper ready and take down the address, the website, the email, the phone number. And I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.